16th chapter. And Mark, as you know, Mark, can you get ready to hit the lights? Let me just show you a quick clip. Mark, do you have a cue, the clips queued up?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's start. Marcus, let's start with the Isaiah issue. Let me just set it up really quick while Marcus is bringing it up. So this is from the movie. This is from the movie, The Forge. Has anyone not seen this movie? Okay, you haven't seen it. So I won't give it away. Would anybody like to borrow the movie free of charge? You know, you can borrow it. If you have a DVD player, you can borrow it. Anybody want to borrow it? Or you can get it on Prime. Or we're talking about forgiveness. And we had some excellent feedback this morning in Sunday school regarding the subject of forgiveness. So here's a guy, young guy, 20, 21. I think he's 20 in real life. Young cat, you know, he's trying to hit on this young lady at the coffee shop. And so he comes in after shooting hoops, and he's very disrespectful to the young lady and to her father. And I want you to just see what forgiveness, how it begins and how it ends. So, Marcus, if you just let that clip roll, please. Yeah, we don't have video on this end. All right, there we go, Marcus. That's it. That's beautiful. All right, so we're gonna let it roll again. Okay, Marcus, I'm sorry. That's the owner of the coffee shop. A year ago, a year has transpired, and the Lord has just convicted his heart, and he's looking, and I can just imagine him having just an internal debate like, do I need to go in there? Should I go in there? Will they even remember me? Is this even necessary? I mean, it's over, it's done with. But the Lord, I believe the Lord encourages us and prompts us to make amends, to make things right. Even a year is not a statute of limitations. If you've done something wrong and you've offended someone and you've mistreated someone, I believe the Lord wants us to make it right. Amen? And so this young man is having this internal debate, I believe, and he's looking at the coffee shop and thinking, should he go in and do it? And watch what happens. Go ahead, Marcus, please.
How can I help you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Is there something I can help you with?
By chance, is your father here?
He is. Do you need to speak with him?
Yes, please, if it's not an inconvenience, of course.
Okay, sure, just give me a second.
Thank you.
How polite he is. This matters. Thank you.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Hi, I'm Isaiah Wright.
Tim Watson. Pleasure to meet you. What can I do for you?
Well, I want to speak with you for a moment because I believe I owe you an apology, sir.
An apology?
Yes, sir. I was, you know, very disrespectful to you and my daughter, and I'm very, very sorry.
I'm sorry, son. I don't believe we've ever met. So,
yeah, we have. You know, about a year ago, I came here, but not to buy coffee. And you asked me to leave. You know, I said some things that I shouldn't have. And I apologize. I mean, to you both. And I just hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me.
You are not the same young man.
No, sir, definitely not.
I can respect the fact that you come here to do this, Isaiah. And yes, I can forgive you.
Thank you, sir. That means a lot. I appreciate you for taking the time to talk.
You're certainly welcome.
Take care.
Well, That's not something you see every day.
No, it certainly is not.
All right. The reason I wanted to show that clip is because I wanted to show an example of what forgiveness looks like in a sort of a real life. I mean, I know it's on film, but I just wanted you all to see just a portrayal of asking someone for forgiveness, even though an incident transpired a year ago. Earlier in the movie, there was an incident where a drunk driver had, in his drunkenness, killed a young man. And the father of the young man forgave the guy that actually killed his son. But he did more than that. He actually went and started witnessing to him and discipling him. And the person that killed his son became a believer. And, you know, I don't want to give too much away because I want those of you that haven't seen it to enjoy the movie. But I thought that was just a good illustration of forgiveness. One was not so much skin off of his, you know, neck, so to speak, because he offended the young lady and the father when he came to his business establishment a year ago and said some disrespectful things. Okay. You know, it was disrespectful, it was immature, it wasn't the right thing to do. But in the other case where a person's son is lost to a drunk driver, you know, the son can't come back. You know, there's a lot of loss there. The son's life is gone and the parents are left the rest of their life grieving for the loss of their only son. And for the father of that man and the mother, by the way, to befriend the guy, disciple the guy and take the guy into their circle of trust, to me is just next level. So how much should we forgive? Jesus says, not just seven times. The rabbinical law was three times, not just three times. Peter said, well, how about seven times? Not just seven times. I'm in Matthew 18. But Jesus said seven times 70. And he made the point that it's not about the math. It's about the principle that we forgive continuously. Amen. So it's going to be kind of a different sermon because I'm not actually going to go into what I was preparing to say because I said a lot of it during Sunday school. I'm just going to read to you the passage. And then if you have any questions, you can ask them. I didn't make any questions up to ask myself this week. So if you have questions, fine. If you don't, we'll just move right on in the service. Amen? All right, so here's what it says in Matthew 18. As I said in Sunday school, my uncle used to call this the grievance procedure chapter because this is how you resolve differences. You mad at somebody, read Matthew 18, and then become unmad at them. Somebody offended you, someone hurt you, someone disrespected you, you forgive them. Amen. And you know what I love about this little scene I just gave you? Because this market, that's going to be the only one I'm going to show is just that clip. I love how the father, the owner of the coffee shop, I think this is just me. I don't know for sure. I think he knew the dude. I think he remembered the dude. That's just me. Maybe he didn't. I mean, a lot of people come through his business. I think he remembered him because of the altercation, which I didn't show you. But I think you wouldn't easily forget that. A guy come in, hitting on your daughter, being disrespectful to you. You almost have to physically throw him out of your business. You're going to remember that. And I love how the father, the other thing that gives me evidence that the father remembered, he said, it took a lot for you to do that. He made a statement as sort of referring back like, wow, the fact that you would come back here with hat in hand, humbly asking for forgiveness. You're not the same young man. So when he said that suggested to me, well, he remembered the other version of that guy. which wasn't the best version of him. You're not the same guy that was here a year ago. What I just think that as believers, the love of Jesus should just shine through us. We shouldn't have to wear badges and signs and, you know, whatever to let people know we're a Christian. I'm not against wearing a cross. Pastor Meek wore one of the biggest crosses in the world around his neck. And actually, before he went to heaven, he gave that to me. I have it at home. I'm just not a jewelry kind of a guy. But I don't think that we have to walk around with a 10-pound King James Version all the time, or wearing crosses, which we can't, or just using Christian vernacular, which I hear used all the time, and they're not believers. We can just let the love of the Lord shine through by just doing good things, just letting Jesus flow through. Be kind, it says in Galatians 1. Be nice in the spirit of gentleness. Here, I'm going to teach you a Greek word before I read the passage. I'm going to teach you a Greek word, not that you need to know this Greek word, but I'm going to teach you a Greek word maybe you'll remember. It's kairosomai. Kairosomai is actually spelled totally different. It's spelled C-H-R-I-Z-O-M-A-I. But kairosomai means to graciously release or cancel the debt of someone else. I'll say it again. It means to gently, kindly, graciously let someone go. Let it go. Let them off the hook. Kairosomai. Just release, cancel the debt, gently forgive. And it comes from Colossians. Actually, it comes from Colossians 3:13, but Ephesians 4:32 even says it's better. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. It's that be kind to one another. It's that sweetness. I love how the young man came back. He wasn't coming back like defending himself, like, you know, you did kind of threaten me, man. Like, you're going to throw me out of your business. You didn't have to, you know, go there, go dark on me. He could have said, hey, you know, I was young, yada, yada. Your daughter was kind of batting her eyes at me, so I was just a recipient. He could have gone anywhere, you know, to try to excuse himself. He didn't make any, and that's what true forgiveness looks like. It doesn't assign blame. And it doesn't matter who the offender was. According to Matthew 3, when you remember there's an alt against you, just the fact that you're in it by extension sometimes. You didn't even deliberately do anything, but you're mixed up in this altercation. Whether it's physical, verbal, or emotional, you're mixed up in it. The Lord says, no, I don't need your offering right now. I don't need your worship right now. I don't need your service right now. I need you to go to your brother and sister and get this thing resolved. Do it now. It's so important that Jesus said, leave your offering before the altar. Don't even submit it. Don't even offer it. Go and make up. Don't wait till Communion Sunday. Don't wait till Resurrection Sunday. Go and do it now. Shut this thing down. Amen. Regardless of how you were offended, regardless of how you were injured, regardless of how you were disrespected, deal with it now. Don't point blames. Don't assign guilt. Don't try to be judge and jury of your own situation. Go and say to this person, I forgive you. I'm sorry. We don't even have to discuss the details of who started what or who did what. Just make sure you initiate it. If everyone had the attitude where I'm running to my brother and sister to resolve things, you know how beautiful things would be. We'd be saying, oh, I'm sorry. No, the person would say, oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm really sorry. No, I'm really sorry. Or I shouldn't have done this to you. No, I shouldn't have done this to you. That's how it should be. Who can out-forgive each other? Who can out-reconcile with their brother? Amen? Oh, man, what would the world be like? What would the church be like? Forget the world. And we could get this thing going in the church. I said I wasn't going to preach. Here's what it says. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to read and have prayer. It says in Matthew 18, 21, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? The Lord says in verse 22 of Matthew 18, no, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. That means unlimited. Not 490, unlimited. Whew, that's a lot. Just marinate on that for a second. Unlimited. I can hardly deal with somebody that messes over me one time. Gives me a bad post on Facebook or on Twitter one time. You know, disrespects me on Instagram one time. Sends me a rotten group text on one time. Tells somebody at work or at school about me chittering, chattering, stabbing me in the back one time. I'm struggling with. And the Lord is saying infinitely, 490, which means every time. That's a dose of medicine that's bitter for all of us, isn't it? Anybody do not have problems with forgiveness? Don't raise your hand, because as soon as you say it, somebody will come and mess with you after church. We all have problems with forgiveness, I think. Maybe some of you are better than others. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for me. Okay, so here we go. Let's wrap this up. Here we go. It says, therefore, in verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who have borrowed money from him. So we talked about this borrowing money in Sunday school. So we beat that horse to death, so we'll let that go. We'll talk a little bit about the mount as we get to it. It says, in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. How do you run up that much debt? Christmas time is coming, guys. Just a little word to the wise. Don't make Christmas with your credit cards. Don't spend your rent money. Don't spend your car payment to do Christmas. Amen. If you can't do it from discretionary income or extra money, don't do it. Amen. Just go to the people that you want to buy a gift. Just say, Merry Christmas. Jesus loves you. So do I. See you next year. See you New Year's. Don't get into debt. How this guy was able to amass millions of dollars of debt is, you know, it's not important, because it's really going to be about the forgiveness. So he says in verse 25, the Bible says he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. And by the way, I looked that up looking at some first century extra biblical writers like, you know, Josephus and others, and some things that Alfred Edersheim wrote, that they did have a debtor's prison. Actually, it exists in the Middle East and some parts of the world, even to this day. You get into excessive amount of debt, you can be thrown into debtor's prison and you can't get out till you work off your debt. Woo! Every country doesn't have bankruptcy. You can't file chapter 11 or chapter 7. Sometimes it costs you with your life. And in this case, you know, I was telling Marie about this stuff. And I said, how's Duke going to pay this off if he's in prison? If you got to get the money, well, the way they did it is you worked it off. You became a slave. You, your wife, your kids, your animals, everybody had to work. Whew, that's something. Yeah, Brother Cole. So it says that he in verse 25, he couldn't pay it. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me. I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. That's just mind-blowing, especially since it was millions. But when the man that left the king, he went to a fellow servant, I'm in verse 28, who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Like, dude, really? You just been forgiven millions. Matter of fact, I looked it up, and I think I put it in the notes to you. In today's debt, Marcus might put a slide on the screen if he can. But in today's debt, it would have been like he owed, the first dude owed the king $14.4 billion with a B. Jimmy Haslam, who owns the Cleveland Browns, who will all be eagerly watching at 1 o'clock this afternoon and just can't wait for them to upset the Baltimore Ravens. We'll all be glued to our TVs. Jimmy Haslam, who owns the Browns, is worth $12 billion. One of the richest NFL owners. That's his net worth. This guy owed 14.4 equivalent money to that era, adjusted for inflation and brought into today's currency, it will be $14.4 billion. If you just go down a couple more slides, Marcus. But before you do, I mean, you can go to the $14.4 billion slide. But listen to this. The other guy only owed the first guy $24,000. Now, that's still a... If you owe somebody $24,000, you might as well owe them $14 billion if you ain't got it, right? If you ain't got it, the amount doesn't matter, right? So one guy owed $14.4 billion using the New Testament translation, an equivalent of cash, and the other one guy owed $24,000. Though it's a sizable amount, you could pay back $24,000, right? It may take a minute, but you can rob all the banks in Cleveland and you ain't going to get $14.4 billion. You're not paying that amount back. That was the point of the parable, that this was an impossible amount to pay back. So it is impossible for us to pay back the Lord for all of his goodness to us. There is no amount of goodness, service, good Samaritanism, good deeds, offerings, tithes. We could never pay the Lord back for how good he is to us, right? So since we can't pay the Lord back, cut one another some slack. Amen? Forgive us. Forgive each other. Forgive me. Amen? Here's the conclusion of the story. But when the man left the king in verse 28, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. Please be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man, we're in verse 30, he had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. How horrible. What a horrible person. And I think the lesson to us is, look, when someone does something wrong to you, be a little patient. Be compassionate. It's not the end of the world. As long as they don't kill you, you'll live. As somebody said, what doesn't kill you? What? Makes you stronger, right. So he goes on to conclude by saying, when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. I'm in verse 32 now. Then the king called in the man and he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt, $14.4 billion. That's us, all of our sins, all of the things we've done wrong to others. He says, because you pleaded with me, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Translated, because the Lord has been so good and kind and compassionate and merciful to us, let's give our brother and sister some slack. Let's be merciful. Accept their apologies. Don't make them grovel, whatever it is. Don't make them beg. You know, some people just want you to, you know, they'll say, well, I'm not saying I'm sorry yet, but please, you know, they want to see us squirm. They want to absolutely humiliate us. They want to get their pound of flesh. Don't do that, guys. If someone comes to you and apologizes, accept it immediately. Amen? Really, I mean, that's the one takeaway. Just let it go. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't let your arrogance and feelings get in the way, thinking that you shouldn't have been insulted to begin with, that you're above this. Just let it go. Let's get along. Amen? He concludes by saying, the angry king, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I have mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured. Woo, he didn't just go to debtor's prison. He went to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. The parable concludes in verse 35. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. That's verse 35. Oh, that's so good, isn't it? Peyton, will you put verse 35 on the screen in the King James Version, please? I want you to see this last part. I love this. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And this part I want you to see. Forgive from our hearts. What that simply means is that we're not just checking a box to say, well, I said I'm sorry. I did my part. I met the minimum qualification. I said I'm sorry. That's all I needed to do. No, you need to do it from your heart. And when one of the things that you'll see in the movie The Forge is that the guy whose son was killed by the drunken driver, he didn't just go and make amends with the guy and say, hey, I forgive you for killing my son. He didn't just go and visit him once. The Bible says that he went to prison and visited the guy multiple times. Matter of fact, the guy said he just kept coming. He just kept coming. That's amazing. He wasn't trying to check a box or meet a minimum requirement. He really loved the guy and wanted to reconcile with the guy and wanted to disciple the guy. Amen? Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this message. We ask that you be glorified and your people be edified. Lord, may something be said in this message that will help us release our brothers and sisters from the guilt of their infraction against us. May something be said in this message that releases us from the prison of bondage, the prison of revenge and retaliation. Lord, may something be said in this message that allows us to see that the greater good is that you are glorified, that you're exalted, and that your word is obeyed. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'm done. That's it.